Assalamualaikum dan salam sejahtera. Anda sedang menonton Agenda Rohani. Dalam sejarah negara, tidak banyak dan tidak ramai, tidak banyak kejadian dan tidak banyak perkara yang kita boleh tarik keluar Malaysia berada di persada paling tinggi. Sebab itu, bagi saya ini bukanlah temu bual, tapi sebenarnya satu penghargaan yang boleh dilakukan oleh Astro Awani kepada seorang tokoh dan bintang negara yang lebih dua dekad membawa dan menyalakan obor yang menjadi penanda aras sampai kini. Dan untuk itu saya ingin berbicara dalam bahasa Inggeris because I would like to pay tribute, not interview. I'm old but she's my idol and she's the one and only, Datuk Nicole David. Thank you so much for making time. Longer than Roger Federer as number one, what Roger Federer achieved remarkably for tennis, Datuk Nicole David achieved that for squash. But you know, Nicole, this country patah tumbuh hilang tak berganti, and we always worry what happens after Datuk Lee Chong Wei, what happens now after Datuk Nicole David. But I'm sure you're going to answer there's, you know, a lot of young coming, but generally across, and we've seen this in football and other popular sports in Malaysia, it's like the grassroots are not really repeating, beating and setting new benchmark compared to previous heroes like you. So what is it about grassroots development that we can learn from your history? Because from the age of five, when you pick up that record, to where you are, that migration to Europe, leaving the family and all, but it seems like we're still collectively not learning the lessons of how important it is to instill the greatness. Because we keep leaving them behind. We keep losing Datuk Nicole David yang kita tak tahu pun, that we don't even know of in schools. So how is it?
Well, I have to go way back because it's been a while. Having to go back, track back since I was 5 years old, is almost 30 years of my involvement in sport and with squash, and having a great support unit with my family was very crucial in the process. I was really having the best time with my sisters, Leanne and Cheryl. They really were very patient with me as well, being the younger sister and always bothering them to train and to get better. But they were very gracious with their time, and my parents were the true supporters with me, with their love and their guidance to excel in whatever I want to do. They were not pushing me, they were not pressuring me. So from that moment on, I knew they gave me the trust that if I want to do something well and I wanted to do it with all my intention and with my full heart and soul, I will make it happen. And they gave me that's the starting point. And then they gave me a chance to really explore that journey, training and playing tournaments overseas, even when I was a kid with my sisters. And then from then on, I took that position to venture out to play professionally, and their support was instrumental, because I wouldn't have gone out to fulfill my dreams to be a world champion and world number one if it wasn't their full backing and support all the way.
Okay, you see, great people always have great answers, but ini juga peluang untuk, you know, kita nak raikan dan kita harus raikan asal umur, asal usul, akar umbi. This is also a shout out to all the Convent Greenland girls, young or old, alumni or otherwise, because that's the home ground of Nicole. And you know, how was it as a child athlete, Nicole? Because I understand this from my own experiences, both professionally and personally, that it's not easy to be a child athlete. You've got school, you've got books, you've got parents, you've got your coaches, you've got to diet at a time when your hormones are raging and you want to rebel, but you're supposed to conform to strict standards and regimes and routines. So what was it for you, Nicole? Can you share maybe one or two instances, the turning point somewhere in your life for you? Because you're a straight A student. Even when you have turned and played competitively, you still ace the SPM results. So can you share instances or, you know, the behind the scenes stories, semangat dan kegigihan and all these things.
The playing is the participation of sport is so important in my schooling years. I was competing in squash, and what it gave me is the discipline, the focus, the time management, and also the understanding that whatever you have to make the most out of it. And I was very, very disciplined in the sense that in my training and in my squash, but at the same time when it came to studying, all the application that I used with squash was was applied to my studying. And I think if it wasn't for sport and for squash, I wouldn't be as a successful student as I was without.
Sorry, Nicole, but I just, if I may, can you single out any particular memories from Convent Greenland itself?
But I love maths. Because my dad, he's a civil engineer, and he also loves his maths, and he helped my sisters too, and they also helped me when I was growing up if I had any problems. But I just found it fun and, well, fun at the time, and I took it up, and I did additional maths as well in my core subjects for SPM. So I think it's just a matter of what you like. Like, I love science, arts. I love everything that has a creative side, but at the same time, a bit more of a structural and formulated version.
You know, Nicole, it's well documented. And, you know, God bless your mother, God bless your father for bringing you to the world and nurturing you to be who you are. But how crucial is that, you know, having very solid, very good upbringing, but at the same time, leaving enough room and less control for you to be independent. Because you can't be the great professional athlete that you are if you didn't assume accountability and responsibility since young, and even more so now. You're the only one I know who can be so strong on court yet look so beautiful like this outside, and, you know, not a hair out of place. So, but where did all this come from? And, you know, expectations, you know, Asians, Malaysia also, sama lah. Doctor, lawyer, accountant, you know. How did you convince your parents for you to turn away from all those opportunities? Tak dapat banyak A ni, tapi taklah, saya nak jadi ahli sukan dan ahli sukan dan ahli sukan dan tak ada pilihan lain. Itulah dia. How did you do that?
A lot of memories. I really love my moments in school with my friends. Those were the best years, hanging out with my schoolmates in primary, and most of them from primary go to secondary, but we go in different classes. So I've known some friends since I was 7 years old. Yeah. And truly those moments you can't replace, and I had the chance to do both. So I could have that schooling life, enjoying my time with my friends, and then my travel with my squash, meeting new friends, playing the tour, the junior tour, and also the senior tour later on, and making new friends, experiencing different cultures, eating different foods as well. And I had the best of both worlds. At the time, straight after SPM, and I knew I was good, but the other players, after 2 years, they knew my game, they knew what my style, and it was then just easier for them to anticipate what I was going to do. So it was a frustrating time to be at your top in the juniors and maybe at the Asian level, but when it comes to being at the top 20 in the world and trying to break through the top 10, it's not good enough. So when I was going through that time, I did a trip once or twice to Amsterdam to actually visit Liz. She invited me over, and I just had a little trial, but at the very first moment when we stepped on court, I knew the way she had so much wisdom to share with me her perception of squash opened my eyes to the possibilities of what's there, what's more in store for me through working with her. So I just wanted to know more and more each day. And that's when I decided, like, the only way to really break through into that top 10 and to be at the very best is to work with someone who has been there before, with the experience, expertise, and being world number two and world champions for Australia.
Amazing. Going alone, and going alone not for the sake of wanting to see what's there in Europe, but you know that that was the next level for you to get to where you are. And if I read all the things that have been written about your career correctly, that when you went there to Europe, when you know, under the tutelage and guidance of Liz, that was when you really can see what you can do, where the rest of the crowd they are, and the strategies that you need to implement, and how you could do and be the longest ever athlete at the top, professional number one of the world for so long. So after the break, what gives Nicole the conviction that at that time, so young, saying that, no, I have to be in Europe to do this, I have to sacrifice, I have to take on new things and new knowledge and new skills. What was the conviction behind that after the show? So a young Nicole David uprooted herself, went all the way to Europe, and new partners, new friends. Yes, there was one other Malaysian squash player with her, but basically a new environment. And then already superb Nicole David saw the way forward, know the skills that she needs to have, the strength that she needed to have, and she suddenly became better. Now with hindsight, we know that for sure. She became the best. So what was it in that turning point?
It was just a decision that was very difficult to make, but it came at a very timely point in my life that I just needed to break away from my comfort zone, and knew that the only way to really excel further and to be at the very best, or to reach my full potential, as to go out there and gain the experience from someone who has already experienced it before in her own career. And Liz Irving is truly a testament to that and a role model to me after almost 16 years working with her. But the initial part of moving over, I knew I needed to get that support from my family and my parents, brave enough have let me go to train overseas. I was there with Sharon Wee, former Malaysian teammate, for the first year, and she moved to another place in Belgium to continue training elsewhere. But that initial place to go there with Sharon was very comforting for my parents too, that they have another fellow Malaysian looking after their youngest daughter. But at the time, my family support, I always knew they were behind me just by letting me go.
To be more specific, Nicole, so was it after all that when you suddenly, you know, you stabilized with the change, going to Europe and everything, what was it in your game that made you the best? Was it you become really, really fast and, you know, faster, becoming way tougher stamina-wise and in your move and physicality? What was it that you first noticed on that?
It was, I had to work on my movement. So I was fast, but I wasn't using my movement as efficiently. I could get to somewhere, but, you know, if I were to do it in the right movement, I could get there and use less effort. But I was fast, so I could be even faster. My attacking play was so much more my strength. It became my strength, being an attacking player, you know, stepping out to be aggressive, and not letting anything go past, and being just the using the right tactics, the right strategy for different players, and the technical aspect was so crucial, because once that breaks down, your game breaks down. And strength wise, I was very fortunate to have the Institute of Sports Malaysia for giving all the expertise, like the physical training programs, the physical trainers here, the sports therapists traveling with me to tournaments. So all those things really came to play in my preparation, my strength building, and also getting fitness levels up to make my mark with the training that I was doing with Liz.
And I also want to extrapolate on that particular point of view a little bit more, because you were flying maybe the lone flag for Asian sport women or Asian ladies to make it, especially in squash, at the highest level globally, but being located way, way far away from home. And if I take the analogy of football, you know, one of the best talent ever that we Malaysians also know was Fandi Ahmad, but he didn't really make it in EPL, for example, English Premier League. So a lot of people around the world face and still are facing this problem, but when they relocate to the more advanced nation, to the more competitive environment, that somehow they falter and, you know, they get left behind instead of progressing. So how is it that flying the lone ASEAN or Asian ladies in sports flag over there, of course it's unique experience to you, but this is what I think we can learn from you. How did you make it work for you despite anything?
It was what I was facing when I was in the juniors. We were coming in as a young country in squash, and Ong Beng Hee was actually the leader of that, having gone to England to test the waters, and then SRAM has came in with the Sports Council support to send us overseas to play tournaments in England and in Australia. And sooner or later, we realised that we actually are pretty good. So that's how we got the exposure, that they saw us as now a threat in some ways in the squash tour in the juniors. So from that experience, I knew that when I went into the professional tour, it was not as foreign as I had experienced. It was just normal to me. But the difference of being out there competing, I never really paid attention to what goes on around me. I just knew that I had a task to do. I just want to go in there and just play the game plan that I set, and I just want to win, basically, sure. Because I hate losing. So from a very young age, I always wanted to win, and it was the hardest point for me was the transition to make the changes that I needed to make to be to be better, and that few years in the beginning, having to lose to some players you don't necessarily lose to, getting frustrated because some things you're trying to implement is not working, but it has to come with a lot of patience, because I trusted that what the techniques that this was giving me actually works. So if I trust the process, things doesn't happen overnight, yeah. But it's frustrating, but the result will come when you complete.
In our society, failures, you know, not many people will accept that. You must be successful all the time. But in your career, you know, you've been beaten quite a few times and crucial times too, but that never seemed to throw the spanner to what you wanted to achieve. So how do you handle failures and frustrations that come with it and pressures from everyone else?
I think it's a matter of just seeing, like you say, like if you have a plan, always know that there's going to be ups and downs and failures along the way. And those moments are the ones to learn from. And then just slowly build. Eventually, you'll get there. But I think a lot of people don't fully trust themselves to trust the process.
it's easy to look at it this way also, Nicole, that was it harder for you because you were, you know, the minority professional squash athlete in a world full of, if we use the racial card, of more advanced countries, white female athletes?
No, it wasn't necessarily like that. It was more of the fun aspect of the challenge that I'm going to face, because at the time, Australia, England were like the two Commonwealth countries that were really leading the pack, and then New Zealand for the women's tour. And you only wanted to aspire to be like them, and you want to push the barrier to that next level. So I had a lot of role models. All the past top champions were the ones to look forward to, and then I could actually emulate the way they played, or to see what strengths made them become the world champion they are and the world number one that they sustained that way. And my coach Liz used to play all of them, so she knew exactly what it felt like to be on the receiving end and also beating them as well on tour. So that's important to do the history to understand what needs to be done.
Nicole, I'm sure you will agree with this. There's no such thing as retirement for great one and only personalities like you. You know, I'm sure, and you have stated that publicly, that you want to help young girls, especially to use sports to better themselves, helping themselves, their family, their community. And this is what they can learn, and they can get inspiration from you. And in the age of Malaysia Baru, we feel a lot of people seem to have this perception that we don't really have the right ecosystem for change, especially in grassroots sports that will produce quality professionals later, be it in squash or football. It depends on many things, on the one particular coach, one particular association. But how do we elevate the whole ecosystem to produce us the next David, not once in a lifetime, but, you know, every year, for example, and have that luxury? So you're the one that have the most local standard to say this to all of us. What do we need to do to improve what we're doing right now in the name of sports?
We as Malaysians have definitely progressed in so many aspects, and I believe that we have to nurture the talents that we have within the country, and firstly acknowledge what we all have, which is our potential to go forth and to take our dreams to that next step. And that's hard to tap on at the very beginning. But it's also, we need Malaysians to encourage one another to, once they see potential, have a little encouragement goes a long way. And those things matter, supporting each other, giving that sense of worth that, you know, in the workforce, in sport, in any walks of life. My parents were the first ones that always say that each person, when you approach a person, you have to approach them with a lot of respect, the way you want them to respect you. So that's the message I always come across wherever I go, wherever I do. It's that's the value that we can always instill to other people. And from then on, you build confidence, you build characters, and then and I feel like Malaysians, we are getting so much more exposure to what the rest of the world are doing through the internet, through information, access to things all around the world. So we can do things within the country, but whatever information we have, we need to be out there to experience it firsthand.
I know this is not really your area of expertise, but so where's the best char kway teow again in Penang?
There's too many, but for me, I have a lunchtime char kway teow and a dinnertime char kway teow. One at Batu Lanchang Market, and then one at Cameron, which is also not far.
Never enough time with great people, especially the one and only Datuk Nicole David. She make me feel so old, you know. First time I interviewed her, maybe it was just after Form 3 or something like that. But thank you so much. There can never be enough words for us to appreciate what you've done for the country, and we salute you for that. We hope you still be around to help us in many other ways, rather than just using the record, but also many, many other ways. Our tribute, again, Dawani, to Datuk Nicole David. You've shared nearly half an hour with us, with her. But the inspiration of Nicole David, I'm sure, will last not only a lifetime, but maybe forever in the annals of history of Malaysia.